Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This account about this man is only found in one gospel, one of the gospels. Here, the brother Luke, a beloved physician, a man that trooped with the apostle Paul on many of his journeys, and writing to a man by the name of Theophilus, seeks to set in order the things that he had been blessed with and he that had received and that he had learned from being around the people of God. And we don't know when Luke was saved. We know that he was and is there with the Lord now. But the Lord sought to use this man to write the Gospels and then write also about the Acts of the Apostles or the first church. And he being a man that's not an apostle and not notable in any other way other than he was with the Apostle Paul. And so in this account, somewhere along the line, the Lord worked it to where Luke learned about this man and the account of this man that we're going to take a look at here and includes it in his gospel. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho," Jericho being a town to the northeast of Jerusalem, 10 to 15 miles, something like that. You remember the great battle that was there. I thought as considered this passage for the message this morning, Jesus had been there before, hadn't he? I believe he was that angel that appeared to Joshua there as Joshua was commanded of the Lord to do the things that Israel did and the Lord's deliverance of Jericho. Jericho having been a great walled city. And so the Lord Jesus comes to this city, and it says he entered and passed through. So he came to the city and he's going through the city walking. Verse number 2, "And behold, there is a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." And so we want to preach this morning, the Lord would bless, as the Lord would bless and help, the salvation of Zacchaeus. The salvation of Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the way you've blessed us, and Lord, you've given us this day to worship you. We thank you for the beauty of it. And Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your church, and Lord, how you've saved us and put us together, and Lord, you've made us precious unto you in your sight. Lord, you've redeemed us and put us in your church, having nothing of ourselves that would warrant any of that. Lord, you've been pleased to build us up in your church, and Lord, you've made a time that we can meet together, and Lord, as your church is assembled, we meet together to worship you. We thank you for the way you've blessed already with your word, and Lord, the singing of praises to your name, the praying and bringing the petition of our hearts before you, Father. And we thank you for this time and the time to look into your word again, and Lord, that you might speak to us through it. We praise your name for all things, Father. You've saved us, redeemed us, and made us your own. We praise your name, Father, that you one day visited us. And Lord, you sent messengers unto us. You sent the word unto us. Lord, you moved with the Spirit. And Lord, you saved us and made us your own. We thank you for that. We pray, Father, for those who are here this morning and not saved, we pray that you might speak to them. Lord, we seek and desire to obey you in all the things that you've given us to do. Lord, help us that we might, as your people and as your church, we might do that well. Lord, we might hold forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we might hold up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we might sow the seed of your word in this world and amongst those round about us. But Lord, we know that you've got to move, and you are the one that saves and convicts. And we pray, Father, that you would. Save sinners, Father, even today. Lord, you're able. We pray, Father, that it might please you to do so. Help now, we pray, as we look into this man, Zacchaeus, and the salvation that you brought to him. And Lord, help us to hear you and believe you and trust you in your word. Help now, we pray, Father. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, this man Zacchaeus, it tells us he was there in Jericho, evidently the town where he lived, and it says that he was chief among the publicans. And I've described this to you before, but I'll remind you, historically, if we understand things correctly, the way that it is amongst the tax collection of this day, the publicans, they're tax collectors, they're namely Jews that are looked on with disdain by the nation. They've sold out. They've become traitors. Representing the publicans back there in Rome was those that would seek to do this business of tax collection. They would bid essentially on the tax collection right from Rome. When Rome got her money, she got her money up front, it seems like. And so they would pay for the right to collect taxes in a region. And then once they would gain that right to collect those taxes in that region, then they would have men that would be on the ground. They would be there in the region to do this work. They were told for them to collect a certain amount of tax from the people. We know about the account in the scriptures about the Lord Jesus and the time of his birth, that it was such that Joseph, having to take his betrothed, Mary, to the town that he was reckoned in there in Bethlehem, and that's how they ended up there, Joseph originally seemingly being from Nazareth. And so those publicans, they were given a certain amount to collect, and then with what they would collect in addition to what they paid Rome is what they would make. Well, it's a fine system for corruption, isn't it? And that's the way it would be. The publicans were known as maybe even ruthless men and extortioners. You'd have a man like Zacchaeus that would be in the region, but then he would have those that were actually doing the work. Sometimes they would collect the tax twice. Sometimes they would be very abusive. Many times the chief publicans would hire brutes to do the work. And it's just a bad, bad thing. Could be a bad thing, and was certainly was a thing that was abused. That's the reason they were so hated. When you talk to a Jew about a sinner indeed was a whoremonger. A sinner indeed was one that would be a thief, and then lumped right in there with all the other despicable things that people would be involved with and that they counted as very offensive, and that were the publicans. The publicans. They were hated. And they had sold out their nation in the thinking there. Well, Zacchaeus, he's chief among the publicans. Seems like he's one of those that's maybe getting his instruction from Rome, and he's got fellows that are working underneath him. Maybe he's responsible, evidently so, for this town of Jericho and the region thereabout. And it says here he was rich. So he had got a lot of money somehow. Somehow he had a lot of money. And Luke notes that he was rich. In verse number 3, we see this. And he sought to see Jesus. And so he's interested in folks. I mean, after all, the publican looking on at somebody doing well, the better they did, the more tax he would collect, right? If it would be a poll tax and you just paid for being you, but if it was an income tax or something like that, or somebody that could maybe be extorted, I don't think that Zacchaeus was that kind of a man, but he was interested in folks, and somehow he had heard about this man Jesus. It says here he sought to see Jesus. How was it that Zacchaeus knew about Jesus? How did he know? Well, evidently the witness of others, huh? There was the witness of others that told about this man, Jesus. And so he wanted to see this Jesus. And look what it says here. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. At first glance, you might think that's kind of redundant. But I think what it was, not only did he want to see the Lord and lay his eyes on him, evidently, as the scripture tells us. But he wanted to find out, I believe, what Jesus was all about. He'd heard some things about Jesus. There had been those that had witnessed and told of Jesus, whether they were the Lord's disciples or those that had been saved by the Lord or those that had been healed by the Lord. Whatever their case was, they had told about Jesus, and now he wanted to see Jesus for himself. Evidently, he had not seen him before. And he also not only wanted to see him, but he wanted to know who he was. I believe he wanted to know what Jesus was all about. And so it says here, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. As the Lord's entering into Jericho and then going through Jericho, Zacchaeus gets word that Jesus is coming, or he hears the tumult, or he hears that multitude that's gathering around the Lord as he's coming into the town. And looking up there at the crowd, and maybe even trying to get up there to the crowd, and of course, many in the crowd don't want to be around Zacchaeus, right? Well, he's a publican. He's chief of the publicans. Beside that, he's very wealthy. They would give him no entrance or anything like that. And because he could not see the Lord, he could not see who he was, for the press, all these people are gathered around the Lord. They're closed up, packed up around him. A lot of folks. He can't get through. And then it says, because he was of little stature. He was short. He couldn't see over the others that were there. You know, there's a lot of hindrances in life, aren't there? A lot of distractions. Sinners have hindrances and distractions. Life is so big, and life is so involved, and life is so complicated. There's a lot of hindrances and distractions, aren't there? A lot of things in the way. You know, this can be what men do to themselves, but you know what? This can also and is also the work of another. Look over here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this. Here the apostle writing the church at Corinth, he's speaking to them about the ministry that we have. We are given a ministry of the Lord to declare that sinners and saints alike be reconciled to the Lord. And he says in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're to be one person and carry the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And we take that and we witness that to others, and we leave it there with them. Salvation of the Lord is nothing that we force upon people. We don't go back and grab them during invitation, the invitation song or the last song that we sing, and try to drag people down the aisle. You know, we have experienced this ourselves, and we have in salvation, in the salvation of the Lord that he's given us, and what have the Lord's touch upon us, we have sold out ourselves. Jim's not in control of this thing. This is not my life anymore. I've been bought with a price. I've been saved by the Lord Jesus. Everything that was me was wrong. But everything that is Christ is right. And so we witness that. I believe that's what he's talking about there. But if our gospel, verse number 3, see what we tell forth. What we tell forth being a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we tell, but if our gospel be hid, it's not good news about ourselves, but it's the good news of Christ and what God has done through Christ and what we hold forth, we own it, it's ours, we're saved by it, and we declare that to others. If our gospel, what we possess about the Lord, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan's at work, isn't he? Blinding sinners' minds. Distraction. So much technology in our day. Technology can be a good thing, but technology can be a distraction, can it? We live in a day, and I've said it before, and it is so, we live in a day that we cannot tolerate as a society for there just to be a little bit of time of silence. Always something going on. Always something playing in the background. You know why we don't like silence? Because we don't want to contemplate eternal things in our hearts. We don't want to hear the truth from God. And if you will, the truth of the Spirit. We've got to be busy with something else. Keep ourselves occupied. And our youth today, so many things that in and of themselves are not wicked or evil, but they fill the life and they keep saying come back because you got to keep playing that game or listening to that song or doing that thing to where there's just no time to think about what's eternal and what's really necessary and what's needed by the sinner. And so Satan does this. Remember about the parable of the types of ground, right? Remember that first ground? And over there, that seed that's on the roadway, what happens there? It's easy pickings for the birds. The Lord Jesus said that that bird represents Satan. And he coming and taking the word out of the hearts of sinners. All the more testimony we need to be sowing the word, don't we? And pray that the Lord will get in there and make it alive. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's saying here that Christ must be believed, right? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe it. Don't need it. Don't think about needing salvation from the Lord. Don't think about their sin and how it stacks up against them and surely brings with it the condemnation of God that presently abides on them. John chapter 3 tells us that. The Lord Jesus said it himself. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. Don't have to wait about the coming damnation. You got the damnation of God on you now. Life to be snuffed out is all that it takes. The last heartbeat, the last breath is all it'll take to bring it to light. Hell, for the sinner without Christ to die and pass from this life and wake up in hell. It's as good as done if you're here without Christ. And so, what's he say? Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, amen? And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. We're the witness and the messenger of the Lord Jesus. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He shined in us, and we're shining forth to you, and we desire that the Lord would shine in your heart. You'd hear it. You'd believe it. You'd hear what the Lord has said. Many will say, well, I'm waiting the Lord to do something. The Lord's done everything he needs to do. He's given the word. He saved his people, which are a witness. He has his church that's declaring the glory of God. And what's it say there in Romans chapter 1? Let's take a look over here in Romans chapter 1. The apostle writes to this church, and he says here in verse number 15 of chapter 1, he's ready to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome also. There's church already there, isn't there? And then he says in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, no respecter of persons. It's out there for all. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. As sinners are saved, and as the people of God witness the gospel that has changed them, the salvation that has saved them, that is a testimony unto those who are without Christ of the good, gracious work and salvation of the Lord. And Satan's busy occupying minds and hearts, isn't he? But in verse number 3, back in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus seeks to see Jesus. He wants to find out who he was. Can't because of the press, because he's a short man. And then in verse number 4, does he give up? No, he has desire. He has been witnessed to so about this one Jesus. He has heard so much about him that he wants to find out who he is for himself. He's willing to come near to Jesus. Many, many, many others are so excited about Jesus. Remember, there's a press, a multitude that likes to get close to Jesus. And Zacchaeus can't jump up high enough to see the Lord himself. And does he quit? No, he has desire. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see him, for he was to pass that way. Evidently, Zacchaeus looked to see the road that the Lord Jesus is traveling on, and he couldn't get up there close to him where he was because of all the people around him. Maybe they wouldn't let him even there, seemingly being by himself, because of their disdain for him. And so he kind of estimates where the Lord's going to go and climbs up in that tree to be able to look down on the Lord as he comes by. He's heard enough of a witness to know that this man's worth checking out. He's been a blessing to others, and folks sure are interested in being close to him. He says, I want to see him for myself. I want to find out what he is all about. So he has desire. He has desire to know more about this Jesus. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was up there in that tree, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Isn't it something how the Lord works on everybody all at the same time, doesn't he? No doubt there's needs in that multitude. No doubt there's needs that the Lord Jesus has already met just the hour before. No doubt the Lord Jesus is on his way to deal with a need. But then he is going to deal with Zacchaeus too, isn't he? He sees him in that tree. He knows he's in that tree. Maybe the Lord Jesus saw him run down there ahead of the press and saw him climbing up in that tree. We know the Lord knew it. He knows this man has a desire for him, and yet the Lord Jesus has come to Jericho for this man. Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What do we have here? The word of Jesus Christ. The commandment of Jesus Christ. He didn't say to Zacchaeus, come on down here if you want to. He said, hurry up, Zacchaeus, and get on down here. I'm going to your house today. Simply, see, they don't have the New Testament scriptures, do they? At this time, got the Old Testament scriptures. And so, but this is in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't have the Lord Jesus here physically with us now as they did then. But still, it was the word that was spoken to Zacchaeus now, and understand that now, in the stead of the person of Jesus Christ being here in his body, we've got his word. And both of them are equal. You hear what I'm saying? Whether it was spoken directly from Jesus' lips where Zacchaeus could hear what was said, or out of the scripture, the word of God, the New Testament now that's heralded forth by the Lord's people and the Lord's church and is preserved for us, that sinners may read it, it's the same word. The scripture's not less, and the scripture's not more. It is the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus speaks to Zacchaeus, says, hurry up and get down here. I'm going to your house today. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says anything, and the word of God that's in any of the scripture that's in the Bible, any of the word of God that we have in the form of this Bible, these 66 books in the New Testament that tells about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in his church, it is no less than Jesus saying it himself, because he has said it himself. Hear what I'm saying? Understand that. It's the same. To Zacchaeus, he doesn't have a New Testament to read. But the Lord Jesus says to him, the word of Jesus, the command of Jesus, come down and hurry up, because I must abide at thy house today. And he made haste. He obeyed the Lord, didn't he? He made haste and came down. And what's it say there? He received him joyfully. So yes, yes, you're right. I want you to come to my house. He received him joyfully. What's it say in John chapter 1? John chapter 1, let's take a look over here. John chapter 1. The testimony of the Apostle John. It says here, and he received him. Jesus spoke, gave the command, and Zacchaeus says, yes. What I want to do, of course, this is what he wanted to do, but what I might want to do otherwise and what you've commanded, that's gone. And what you say, that goes for me. He believed him. He received him. In John chapter 1, verse number 6, there was a man sent from John whose name, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That's what we do today as the Lord's people. That all through him might believe. Through Jesus, believe. He was not that light, John the Baptist wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light, just like you and I are today, saved children of God. That was the true light, Jesus is, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If there's going to be light for a man, it's only going to be by Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's natural man at work. He came into his own nation, and his own received him not. That's natural man at work. But listen to this. But as many as received him, the whole complete package of Jesus, what Jesus says goes. What Jesus says is true. Not doubting or not gainsaying, as the scripture says. But if Jesus says it, it's right and it's for me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe what Jesus says. Zacchaeus believed the command of Jesus. He had a desire from the witness of others that he wanted to see Jesus and who he was, what he's all about. And then the Lord says, thus and so to him, just like the Lord says, thus and so to us in this day through his scripture. And Zacchaeus says, that's the truth. I believe it. He said it, he spoke to me, and I believe what he says. And he received him joyfully. And as many as received them, to them gave he gives he. See, salvation is the Lord. Sinners don't save themselves. Never have, never will. It's the Lord that saves. But the Lord sends his word and says, repent, believe, receive me. Receive not a plan, but the man, Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He's the one that saves, even to them which that believe on his name. And then we have a colon there, don't we? We're going to have more clarification, more background. What's been declared in verse number 12 is where you and I live. But God's at work in these things. Who sent the Savior? The Lord. Who sent the Word of God? God did. Did we ask for a Savior? Nope. Did we ask for the Word of God? We, humanity? Nope. Did we even know we had a problem? Nope. But the Lord sent the Savior, and the Lord sent his word, and the Lord knows we have a problem, and he tells us the truth. Will we receive what he says? Will we believe what he says? Because here's the background. He says, which were born, just like the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus scratches his head. I don't know what you're talking about. And then what the Lord Jesus does is he transitions in that passage in John chapter 3 and speaks about a Savior that's lifted up. Because that's what Nicodemus needed. He didn't understand. But here's the background. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. You know what God uses to birth people? Well, he sent the Savior, and the Savior's done everything needed to save sinners. And then he sent his word, namely in the case of our day, the New Testament, though all the scripture is good, but namely the New Testament that tells us about Jesus, tells us about his ministry, tells us about the work of the church, and tells about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Savior, he sent his word, he's established his church that keeps telling that and telling that and telling that. And sinners are to receive it. And the Lord moves with his Spirit, and sinners are saved. The Word was made flesh, it goes on to say, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you believe in him? Do you believe on him, the Word, the light, the Son of God, for the salvation of your soul? Do you believe what he said? You won't be saved without believing it. But Nicodemus here, back in chapter 19 of Luke, he says, the Lord Jesus says, get down here, make haste, come on down, I must abide at thy house. The word of the Lord, the command of Jesus, and Nicodemus, or Zacchaeus receives it and believes it and comes down. He receives him joyfully. He's happy. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. You know, there's always opposition to the good work of God. Man, there can be with man and the depravity of man and the wicked thinking of man, there's all kinds of junk that's brought up to oppose the good work of God. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Yeah, but the other. But Jesus said himself, he came not into the world to call righteous, but the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So they're going over there to be, we've come to him, and some of them that are there in the press, we've come over here to him, and we honor him by doing so. And then what's he do? He goes over there to eat lunch with an old publican, a sinner. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, maybe it was so, I don't know, it's speculation on my part. Maybe it was so that in all that press, of course the disciples are there with the Lord, they're following with the Lord. But maybe it was so that the Lord knew that the only heart that really desired him in that press was Zacchaeus. He was honest. I don't know. But the Lord spoke to him, and there's opposition always to the good work of God. And listen to this. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, hear that? Have you bowed the knee in your heart to the Lord? Said, no, I doubt him. He's not your Lord. I don't think he can save me. He's not your Lord. I don't think he can save me but this way. Listen to what he says. He's the one that's in the saving business. What you and I need to do is obey what he says. So I think this, I think that, I think the other. Zacchaeus says unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What do we have here out of Zacchaeus? Well, he surrendered to the Lord, hadn't he? He's yielded, and he's, if you will, in heart and soul and mind, he believes the Lord in what he said, and he says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor because I've got the real blessing in you. And also, if I don't think that Zacchaeus was a dishonorable man. I think that he was an honorable man. But yet to set it straight with the people, he says, if. He didn't say, see, this is a man that's pure honest now. He doesn't doubt the Lord. He believes what the Lord says. And he... is yielding to the Lord. He wants the Lord. And he says, those that I have ripped off, I'll restore them. He doesn't say that, because if he had, if he believed that he had, I think he would have said that. But he says, if I have, what's it say? If I have taken anything from any man by a lie, false accusation, I restore him fourfold. See, in the law of restitution, Zacchaeus went all the way. Anything that had been stolen that was found intact with the thief was to be restored with another fifth. In regards to some animals, if they were stolen and they were consumed, they were to be restored four or five fold. And Zacchaeus is willing to go all the way for restoration if he's guilty. He said, just come tell me and I'll make it right. Honesty, repentance, and what else do we see? Liberty. Liberty there. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much, or because, if you will, he also is a son of Abraham. Who was Jesus sent to? What did he declare? He's sent to the household of Israel, wasn't he? That was the focus of his ministry. The going forward of that ministry and the continuance of that ministry is that the gospel would go out into all the world. That's the purpose that the Lord had ultimately in the work of his church, that it would go out to all, every nation, tribe, and tongue. But he said, this man can also be saved. Because he's a Jew, and even though he's been involved in this work of a publican, even though it's thought that he's betrayed the nation, he can still be saved. Because who's the promise to? Abraham and his seed, right? Right? Isn't that what the church declares to the nation of Israel in the book of Acts? This is the fulfilling of the promise. And he says, it's to you and your children, Peter preaches there. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. He says, if you just receive it and believe it. What advantage does the Jew have, the Apostle Paul writes? Well, namely in that the Lord gave the oracle, the word of God, to them first. And so, yeah, even this publican can be saved. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, listen, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah, even a publican can be saved by faith in Jesus. How about you? Zacchaeus was looking to find out who he was. He found out who he was, didn't he? Or he indeed found out what the Lord was all about. Jesus came to save sinners. And Zacchaeus knew it and believed in the Lord. See, salvation's simple. Our old minds and our old hearts and depravity wants to make it complicated, because it's foolishness to the natural man. But salvation is simple, because it rests in the Lord. And he's the one that gives the command. He's the one that gives the word. And what are you and I to do? Believe it. Simply believe it and receive him. That's where we live. That's where we are. And it goes on here, I find this interesting quickly, in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. I hadn't seen that before, but he added this to what just happened to Zacchaeus. The salvation of Zacchaeus. He added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they had thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So he adds this right after Zacchaeus being saved, the Lord saving him. And he adds this because he's getting close to Jerusalem, and there are those who are thinking that the Lord's going to usher in the kingdom. But he didn't come to do that this time. He came as Savior, didn't he? And you know this account, I trust, and there's just a point or so that we want to pick out here. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom for himself, a kingdom in return. That's Jesus. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, here's the command of the Lord again, occupy till I come. That's his command. Now see, again, in Matthew, he says in another account of this parable, he says, watch. But this is the command of the Lord, occupy till I come. What has mankind been created for? To honor and glory and give honor and glory and praise unto our Creator and God. That's what we've been created for. Sin's our problem and hinders us from doing so, but with the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to fulfill it. We're able to praise Him. That's part of the reason the church meets together, is to worship our God and to glorify Him. Where does the Lord say that the glory for Him in our age and this day is to be? In His church. Glory be unto Him in the church. Till the end of this age, He takes us on to be with Him. And so that was the command of this nobleman, and that nobleman is representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, listen, the command of the Master today is the Scripture. No different. More expanded than occupy till I come. But this is how he says to occupy. And if you will, these 10 servants have all been given a pound apiece. And if you will, that is life. And what will you do with your life? The Lord makes it very clear. You take your life and live it to self and deny the Lord and deny what He's commanded, you will die. But you hear Him, you believe Him, and you live your life for Him. You yield your life for Him. You don't follow what you want to do, but you hear what He says and you believe Him and trust Him and follow Him in it. You will have life. And the Lord says that in other places. Look here, His citizens hated Him and sent a message after Him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Kind of in parallel to those that are up there that say, well, He went to lunch with a sinner. Don't even know what the Lord's work and business is all about. Rejection of His authority and word. Will you reject it or will you receive it? The brother mentioned it this morning. We're faced with that even as the children of God every day. Am I going to believe the Lord today or am I going to reject what He says and do my own thing? Sinners are faced with that hear the word of the Lord. They're faced with that. Will you reject what God has said and His authority? He is to be heard and He is to be obeyed. We have the Bible. But His citizens hated Him, sent a message after Him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Came to pass that when He returned, having received the kingdom, then He commanded these servants to be called to Him to whom He had given the money, and that He might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. How are we saved? By the Lord. By the graciousness of the Lord, a sinner is saved. The sinner that's saved attributes it all to the Lord, doesn't he? Not in self. Not in what we've done. Not in what we've paid. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well done, thou good servant. Because thou hast been faithful in very little, I have authority over 10 cities. The second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And He said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. He did not receive him. He didn't believe him. He did not yield to his authority. He sought to do it like Frank Sinatra sang, he did it his way. And what's he have? Himself. Nothing. Don't obey the Lord equals death. But believe and receive him equals bottom line. When you boil it all down, that is where it's at. He said, for I feared thee because thou art an austere man. This word austere here is talking about being rough as a gale, very severe in wind. And sinners that are afraid of the Lord, they hear with the carnal ear about the judgment of the Lord and fear the Lord and do like Adam and hide from him. That ends up in death. But hear the Lord and the truth of his message and his command, that he tells the truth and he tells what's needed for the help, for the benefit, for the blessing and salvation of sinners. Jesus has a word and has sent a word that is to be believed and have confidence in. He said, you're austere and you're a thief. You takest up thou that layest not down, reapest thou that's not sow. He said to him, out of thine own mouth I'll judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. This is kind of tongue in cheek. Taking up that I did not lay down and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? See, you weren't thinking about me. You were just thinking about self. And he said unto them that stood by, take him the pound and give it to them that hath 10 pounds. They said unto them, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And for I say unto you that every one, verse 26, every one that hath shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. And that is the way it is with the saved and with those that are without Christ. But those mine enemies which not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So he's going to reign. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you believe it? Do you trust in him? Do you rest in him? Do you hear his command? Do you believe his word? We'll close by going over here in Romans chapter 10. And again, we want to say and emphasize here, Jesus spoke directly to Zacchaeus that day. And that's the word of the Lord right there to Zacchaeus. But Jesus not being with us physically today that we might hear words from his lips with our ears, has his Bible and his scripture here today. And that word is no different than anything that was spoke. Like that word is no different. What we have in the scripture today is no different than the word spoken audibly to Zacchaeus as he was in that tree. No different. And that's the word that we have today. That's the word from Jesus that we have today. And it is to be heard. And it is held forth by his people. And certainly it is held forth by his church. Jesus yet speaks today, doesn't he? Okay? Jesus is speaking even today. All over the world where his churches have met or will meet, Jesus is speaking through his body yet today. And speaking what? What he has declared and inspired already. And so we come this here to chapter 10 of Romans, and listen to this. Let's look at this backwards, okay? Verse 17 of Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God, God's command, the Lord's command, what he has said. And Isaiah says in verse number 16, but what? They don't obey the gospel. They don't obey the good news. Isaiah said it. Who believed our report? We say that. Who's believed the report, Lord? But it is the report to be declared, isn't it? And sinners are to believe it. And then listen to this. In verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We have been sent, haven't we? We've sent, preachers are called to the Lord and sent. The people of God do declare and proclaim the word of the Lord and the gospel. We've been sent by the Lord, by his authority, by his power, with his word. And then it says in verse number 14, And then how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in whom and they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The preacher has been sent. The proclaimer of his word has been sent. And sinners have heard, and they must believe what they have heard, that they might call upon the Lord. I'm waiting for the Lord to do something. Tell you what, lost sinner friend, he's already done it. He's done it. You must believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name, verse number 13, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did the Lord Jesus call on Zacchaeus? He sure did, didn't he? Did Zacchaeus believe him? Did he receive him? It says he received him gladly. He spoke to me. He told me to get down here because he's going to my house today. Is the Lord speaking to you? Are you taking the junk of this world and this life and cramming it in that space and trying to fill up that empty space in you and push out what the Lord is saying in His Word? Or are you hearing Him and believing Him and trusting Him in what He says? Whosoever, how shall they call unless they believe? And how shall they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? The preacher's been sent, and the word has been declared, and it must be believed so that sinners might call upon the Lord. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith. Not what you can do. Faith in the Lord. There's no difference. There's no difference, verse 12, between the Jew or the Greek. It's not about side of the tracks you're born on or what nationality or what the color of your skin is or anything like that. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. You need Him? Zacchaeus, by the witness of others, he wanted to find out what this man was all about. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Believe in the Lord Jesus with your heart, all your heart. Trust in Him. The command of the Lord, like it was unto Zacchaeus in that day, that Zacchaeus heard with his ears, the same command of the Lord is there in His Scripture. And He came preaching in the beginning of His ministry, repent and believe the gospel. First words, the first words of Jesus that are declared there, repent. Admit that you're guilty before God. You're guilty. It's over with. It's done. There's no hope. And believe the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. For the forgiveness of your sins. For the granting to you, unto you, of everlasting life. Jesus is declaring His command. Oh, sinner, receive it. Let's stand together. And as the song leader and piano player comes, the salvation of Zacchaeus. Just a small part of Scripture, a small portion of Scripture there that tells us about that. You know, Zacchaeus is with the Lord now, isn't he? In glory. He's there with the Lord. Wonder if he's still short. I don't know. You know, I wonder how that'll be. You know, will we... How much of physical features will we maintain? I don't know, but he's there with the Lord, and he's thankful that the Lord came to him. And understand, the Lord has come to you by virtue of His Word and His Church. And what will you do with it? I pray you'll receive Him.